Maybe we should have a quiz. What is the theme of this service? During Holy Week, I had the privilege of being asked to do a funeral just down the street at the Lawrence Funeral Home. And there was a bulletin made up, and the man who had passed away was 82. The group who had come to that funeral were his contemporaries, most of them. And printed in the bulletin was a responsive reading of Psalm 23. I don't know about you, but I can't think of a lot of funerals that I've been to that didn't have the congregation or the pastor recite this beloved, beloved psalm, Psalm 23. And so we recited it responsively, but I'll tell you, the people who were there could have said it by heart. In that generation, so many people memorized Psalm 23 from the King James Version. I'm going to ask you, if you know that, to recite it with me. But for those who don't, I'd suggest that you turn to page 501 in your Bible, and the New Revised Standard Version will do just fine. I'd ask you to listen for God's word to you in this beloved psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord. And do you know what it's like for me to see those who don't need the Bible, to see those who have this psalm on their heart, so many of you? And for times like the Lawrence Funeral Home during Holy Week, this is a great, great comfort. And I think we all need to acknowledge that we have used this. There are soldiers in Afghanistan and in Iraq today reciting, "The Lord is my shepherd." Think what they must be experiencing and what comes to their heart. But you know, there is another way for us to think about this, and it's about the everydayness of this psalm. In places like Africa, Central America, Asia, Christianity is exploding. I think you know that. It's exploding, and a place like Lesotho in southern Africa, there are shepherds right outside the window. They're worshiping today, and if they were saying the 23rd Psalm, there might be a boy going by leading a flock of sheep. It's very clear what the life of a shepherd is like. And as Stuart reminds us, it's not so flattering to think of ourselves as sheep, but there are times in our lives when maybe we need to do that. The shepherd outside there is trying to find good pasture, leading to water, preparing a safe place, a safe fold, and looking for lost sheep. That's what they know in Lesotho. Let's get a little closer to sheep and shepherds this morning. And I just happen to have here the top 10 things you need to know about sheep and shepherds. Because we're having communion today, I'm going to do an excerpt. Sheep have no depth perception. As a friend of mine preached, they can be right in front of water or green pasture and not know how to get there. They can have the kingdom of God staring them right in the face, and they can't take the first step. But they have fantastic peripheral vision. Do you know that a sheep has, you think of those eyes on the side of the head, a sheep has 320 degrees of peripheral vision. They see in color. But here, I think, are the important things that we need to know, what the people in Lesotho know. Sheep are followers. If one sheep moves, the others will follow. Sheep have excellent hearing. They have excellent hearing. And the sheep recognize the unique voice of the shepherd, and they will follow wherever the shepherd leads. Now, here are a few of the things that we need to know about shepherds. Shepherds, sheep obey the shepherd when he calls them by their name. A shepherd will name not all the sheep, but will name those sheep that he wants to be the leaders of the flock, will name those ones that for somehow catch his attention and are particularly, stand out particularly for him. And when he calls their name, they will follow. Flocks can be sheltered. Did you know this? In the same fold. Let's say you had a room or a fold this size, and one shepherd came and he brought 50 sheep from his flock, and another shepherd came, and a shepherd came from the south, and they mixed up all of their sheep. And sheep are the precious staple of that economy in Palestine. They're all mixed up. But there's no need to worry, because in the morning when they leave the sheepfold, all the shepherd needs to do is call his or her flock, and they will follow, and they will absolutely 100% be separated again into the flock that they went into that sheepfold with. They follow the voice of the shepherd. The shepherd's work can be boring, but it requires diligence and endurance. The shepherd has to find pasturage in a country that often is considered wilderness. And it needs to find water, often in a time when there is drought. Shepherds are always on the lookout for strays. Shepherds give special attention to expectant ewes, female sheep, newborn lambs, and sick animals. And the number one thing that you need to know about shepherds is that it is the shepherd's duty to rescue the lost. It is the shepherd's duty to rescue the lost. Now, I said I wanted to somehow have us think about this beloved psalm the way the people in Lesotho who watch right outside the window a shepherd calling and protecting and seeking out the lost, that somehow that this psalm become real and important in our daily lives. Two men came to me about a month ago. They came to my office and they said, "Michael, we're going through something here that the best word I can use for it is wilderness. There are people all over this community who are losing their jobs. And we're here today because both of us have had this experience years ago. Both of us have been in a position where the best word we can use to describe it is we were in a wilderness. We were lost. We didn't know where to turn. But you know, we're here today because in that time, in that wilderness, God spoke to each one of us. God gave us hope and comfort. And today, we are here to tell you that out of that wilderness came a whole new vocation, a whole new way of thinking about life, a whole new job and career that we feel now is more what God prepared us for, gifted us for from the beginning of our life, that somehow this wilderness time became a time not of being lost, but of being found. And we think that we need a ministry in this church, a ministry of hope to those men and women in our community who are in that situation. The second week I was here, we had a rose up here on the chancel, and it was for a newborn child. And the same week that that child was born, the father lost his job. We have in our community not only people who are losing a job and who need to find the next job, we have many people who are losing a career and who need, in a wilderness, to find out what they should do next. And so we've set up this ministry called the Barnabas Project. Barnabas, meaning son of encouragement. We've set up this ministry that it might offer for people in a wilderness hope. And not only are we inviting people to come who need that word of hope, who need to see their Lord as a shepherd, providing, leading, preparing, calling, a beloved shepherd who will not abandon them, who will seek them out and save them. We also need people who have been through this and who are willing to tell their stories of hope, their stories of purpose. Listen to my story. It begins with a phone call. It begins with a phone call to my wife that says, "Maureen, you need to come down to the office. The bank is here, and they're asking us to sign our houses as collateral for the company, to sign away our house if we're unable to make these payments." I learned a term that day. It's called workout. Workout. I thought you did that at the Y. Workout. And the pleasant woman that kept calling us and saying, I'm your workout agent. It wasn't a trainer. Maybe it was a trainer in a certain way. The end of the story is we got through. And the company exists today because of hard work and faith somehow. But the real end of the story is this. Somehow during that 2-year period where we lost the office in San Francisco, where we lost $750,000, where we had to work really hard to try to get back to zero, God called to me. God called to me and said, Michael, I want for you so much to be a pastor. That somehow in that wilderness, I heard a voice. And I'm here today because I followed that voice. And it is my great joy to be here this morning proclaiming the word of a God who is my shepherd. Now, not all of us are facing that situation. I have one friend who worked for a company for 20 years. His boss came into his office, I don't know how many of you have been there, and said, pack up your desk. In 20 minutes, we would like you to be out of the building. Do you ever recover from such a thing? 20 years, 20 minutes. But maybe for you, it's something like, it's the doctor on the phone, and the doctor says, we found something on the scan. Could you come in this afternoon? Or it may be that person that you've lived with and shared life with for 25 years says, I'm leaving. Or it could be that you have a teenager, and I'll leave it up to you to fill in the blanks. We all experience a wilderness. I think what this passage, what this beautiful psalm is telling us is, if we will only, in those times when we are lost, admit it, that we have gone astray, that we need the loving voice. Those men who came to my office, I am here today to tell you that in that wilderness, I heard that voice. I can say to you today, the Lord is my shepherd. That somehow, even in these difficult times, perhaps most importantly in these times, we can know that there is a God who loves us, who leads us, who prepares a table for us, in whose house we can live not as a stranger or as a guest, but as a child at home. Now I'm going to ask you either to open your Bible again or to say with me this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.